The Foundation for Ancient Research and Mormon Studies presents the Pearl of Great Price Lecture Series, given by Dr. Hugh Nibley. Today's lecture is entitled, The Shabako Stone Continued.
Setting is this, and they're going to be united in the United Kingdom, Kingdom of Egypt. And so he begets Adam, Adam begets the Council of the Gods, they all, this is, they're all identical. Now, there are two things that are mentioned. Remember that Zamkar said, many others have said, everybody have noted this, in fact, Breasted, you may have read that article in the Monist by now, that this represents, is very close to the Gospel of John and Genesis. For two reasons. It emphasizes two things that you'll find all over in John and Genesis. Namely, the work of identification. I should have brought John along. John chapters 14 through 17, I am in the Father, and they am in me, and I am in them, and those that listen to us, they are in us. And so what does it mean by in us? And I am out of the Father, I come ek theou, and so forth. These are the expressions that are used here in the same sense. And the other is the conflict, the theme of conflict, the Genesis. And is the theme of creation. Creation especially, well, this is John too. The Logos, the mystery of the Word, the doctrine creation by the Word of God, and in Genesis, God spake, and it's the Word. And it uses the very same word. It uses sephet. The Old Testament uses sephet, which means lips, sephtire, and here it's used shephet, which is the very same thing, by his lips. But first the situation. Now we can begin. All right, the Most High God, who is acclaimed, decides to establish Tachenon here, and this is the situation in Egypt. As he is the father of Adam, and he is through Adam and through himself also the father of all the council of the gods, he calls the council of gods. They discuss an affair, a division. Ah, there's the bell. Now we can begin. A division between Horus and Seth. We'll find out that between Seth and Horus, Seth is mentioned first here, and here is between Horus and Seth, but when he settles it here, with the, he settles the lands, he settles Seth first. Seth is the plaintiff here. He is the one, he's always been making trouble, and that's going to be a very important element here. Seth is our Satan, of course. But the land is divided between them, and the kings of the north and the south, and they're equal, and this ends here, you see. He sends them each one to his part of the hall, and they settle, let there be no more argument between you, and so forth. And each one takes his place. But then he does a strange thing. He decides to give the whole inheritance to Horus. Why is that? Why did he change his mind? For two reasons, made very clear here. First of all, we hadn't got to this part. He was very much disturbed. His heart was troubled. His heart was troubled at the fact that he had given the heart of Geb. Now, Ptah doesn't change his mind here. It's his plan. But the thing, Geb's business, remember Geb represents the earth and everything on the earth, his business is to implement the divine plan down here. And he saw that it would never work with this equal division here. Therefore, he is troubled that the land was divided, that the division was equal, Tewet, equal between Horus and Seth. So Geb gave his own entire portion to Horus, his son, the son of his son, and who was his firstborn. Well, see what the theme is here. It's priesthood and kingship as well as land. Now, the division of the land is no trouble. You notice in Israel, in the Bible, the land is divided among the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. No controversy there. Their sons divided in the 14th chapter of Genesis. It's divided among the nations and so forth. And the children of Israel divided again. Israel, Jacob, divided among his 12 sons. And they get their shells, and that's all right. But they're jealous of one who is Joseph. They were jealous of him because he got the garment of the priesthood. We won't go into the story of the garment now, but the kumbah is a garment of many colors. Incidentally, the word many is added in the King James. It's not in the Bible at all. So the garments that had marks in it. It's a long story about the garment. This is the garment which, Joseph's garment, when it was brought to Jacob by the brethren to show that the lion had killed Jacob, make him think that, had killed Joseph, Jacob both wept and laughed. This is a story told in the Book of Mormon. Both was pleased and oppressed. The fact that the garment was soiled and bloody showed that Joseph had been killed, but also It showed that Joseph was alive, and he said, when he felt the garment, this is a very old source, it's found to be, when he felt the garment, he says he knew it. Remember, he'd gone blind from weeping, we're told. And when he felt the garment, he knew it was the true garment of Joseph, because we're told there was no other garment in the world like that. It was the garment that he had received from his father Abraham, and Abraham had received it from Adam, and Adam had received it in the garden. This was the garment of the priesthood, of which there was only one. And when he gave this to Joseph, of course his brethren were jealous. And remember, the dreams he had, he was the king, and they all bowed down to him. You can only have one king. And where did they bow down to him? In Egypt. This is an Egyptian story, too, as far as he goes. Remember, Joseph goes, he becomes the chati, he becomes the second in power, he becomes the king's right hand. With all his authority, he becomes a repat, in fact, which allows him to sit on the throne. And so the brethren were very jealous of him because he came king. But you see, the division of the land is not the question who is to be priest and king, and there can only be one. And that's the trouble here. So he's got to give it. He gives his whole inheritance as Geb. He gives it to Horus, because you're not going to have a divided inheritance, for one thing. This is the law, notice, the son of his son. It's the law of patriarchal succession and primogeniture. It all has to go to one, because if you start dividing it up, the kingship, there's going to be lots of trouble. And Seth is the one to make trouble. Remember, the reason they hold this thing in the first place is that there was trouble between Horus and Seth. So this had been going on before. And Seth is the one, he finally decides to give it to Horus. Well, what happens to Seth? Is he mentioned anymore here? What does he do? He comes out and we soon discover down here why Seth is in discredit, because he'd made trouble before. He's the one that introduces all sorts of mischief into the picture, as we see here. Well, we get this. Then, we hadn't read this part, had we then? Yes. Yes, we read this right down to here, didn't he? Divided equal, and they all had parts of the land. Well, let's go on then. And then it starts out with another theme. All of a sudden, the Osiris theme is introduced here. And Isis and Nephthys are worrying without delay. They draw him from the water. Notice in the top figure here is a picture of Meh, and here's the waves of water. And you notice him lying on him, Osiris lying on his back, and the sign under it is Mer, which is pool. Notice it's exactly the same in old Celtic and old English. Mer is a pool, windamere and so forth, a mere, or the Latin word for sea, mar, la mer. The Egyptians used exactly the same word that we use for a sea or a pool or a lake. So this is baptized. Notice he's lying on his back, an unusual thing here. He's lying on his back, and he comes off the place of Osiris. Here, well, at his water. Yes, at the water. Yes, that's right. That could be Jesus. That's fine. Thanks. At the water that belonged to him, M. Mawet Set. Well, F. Mawet Set, where was established anew. Well, it's all missing here. And then he goes to God. Great. In his water. Here it is again. This is the story where Seth is, where Osiris is overcome and either thrown into the water or drowned, as he says, you have your choice there, by the wicked Set. So Set has been making trouble all along. The problem, we have the problem here. The two main problems here, you might say, are the kingship and priesthood, dominion upon earth, and will the show go on? I mean, if it's only temporary, who cares? It's eternal life. It's eternal life and resurrection. So the two themes, eternity, life, resurrection, and power and authority, are the whole theme of this Shavaka stone. Well, let's see, we've got anything here now that we haven't mentioned. The lands were divided and so forth, and well, the king in Egypt, Ahasuerus, is the high priest, and by definition, of course, there can be only one. And the purpose of the text is to explain that, how it's possible to have one. So, this is important to know, how it becomes one. We didn't read this, did we? No. Akahoris and the land of the south. Then Horus rose up as lord of the land of the south, and he bound together Dewet en Pen, Machu M. Renef, and he was acclaimed then in his great name as uniter of the lands of the north and the south, palace of the north and the south. And Nebjet of the house at the place of the Lord of eternity. And read it, and it grew upon his head. Notice it grew upon his head. Now we go up here. The The Wereck Ka. The Wereck Ka is that which has ultimate power. Wereck Ka, it's usually greatest magic or something, is translated that way. But Ka is Hekau, Wereck Hekau. That which is, usually refers to a goddess, which is she who is most great and powerful of authority, but of course it refers to the crowns. The two crowns, you see. It says they grew together on his head and became one crown. Tepef. So it came, Horus Pel, Aha, so that Horus arose and mounted the throne as the king of both the south and the north, the sedge and the bee, and at the play, and the uniter of the two lands at the temple, the Hoet, in the place where the two lands are united there. And then Heber and Dewa, and it happened, I guess we mentioned this before, that there was placed the, oh yes, there were two columns. The sedge and the, this is the papyrus, two columns were placed in front of the temple. It is always so. We have this Boaz in the Bible. We have the two columns, which were borrowed from Egypt, incidentally. Solomon borrowed those two temples. Hiram had them cast in bronze, Hiram of Tyre, and they were in the manner of Egyptian temples. These two trees were set at the door to represent the north and the south, and the very famous Egyptian story from the Middle Kingdom, the story of the two brothers, about the two trees that stand before the temple here. And they were placed at the gates of the temple, see, at the gates of the house of Ptah. Horus and Seth they represented. Pel, they represent Horus and Seth. And so the two of them were reconciled. Notice the duel there. Semu and they joined together, and Sensen, good old Sensen, the Sensen papyrus, is the Sensen word for brother. Sensen means to embrace or kiss. And they united together, there was no more fighting between them. And they united together and became one. Sensen F. Tem Shentef, and there was no more quarreling between them. Well, that seems like a happy ending. After he'd decided to give it all, after he decided to give it all to Horus. But then we find the trouble here, and we come to the drama of Osiris, where he has to go through the waters of death and so forth. Well, this goes back to the Osiris story here. Isis is speaking to Horus. Isis and Nephthys are speaking to Horus, and he says, Se and Neger, he's telling them, go and rescue, Neger means grass hole, take him out of the water. They're supposed to raise him out of the water, and he's restored then, because he doesn't die completely. It follows right down to the bottom of the line. Yes, they're separated, and they caused him to come up onto the shore here. Separ, sin, so, to the shore. You come to the next one. It goes back to here, but it's missing. And then here at the top, now they build a temple here. This part has to do with the building of a temple. These lines, I suppose, they're hard to read here. Isis and Horus, yes, here we go. Isis and Nephthys speak to Horus, and they go, and go thou and do so and so. And this is the house of the old man. That's the where, or it's Ser, or it's Semsu, or it's Eau, but it means the very old man, the ancient of days. And it's, notice it's the old man leaning on a staff, and it's the temple, the house of the temple, in something. And Sekhet means actually build or construct. See, there's a man building a wall, and the word Sekhet means to build up. Build the house of the king. Satan says it's the king's castle, the king's house, but it is in so many other things, as in our Joseph Smith papyrus, the Hypocephalus. It's there always, the house of the Ancient of Days. So they build the temple and things are connected here. This isn't the creation story here. Now this middle part is this drama. We'll shift over to the other now, but most of it's on this side anyway. This, remember, is where the millstone ground and ground and wiped everything out completely. This was the thing that kept the two parts, this part, from slipping around to the other part. They had to hold it down fast. But this part, of course, was hollow, and so this was spared, some of it was spared, but there just seems to drama going on. Three people are speaking, the woman and Horus, Isis and Horus and Seth, and they're speaking, there's an argument. And Isis says something here, and then he says, Yipet Erek, and you will have joy and happiness hereafter. And then one of them says to Mechen, Em Chenen Nefer Yireh. The M Chenin Anik Yer S. Well, that's strange. There's something missing here. the word sejim is that. Sejim and chen. Your life shall be sweet to you, is what he says here. That's interesting because on this production, on the others, I have a number of reproductions of photographs. There's a sign like this there, which is nejim or benner. It means sweet, agreeable, like this. It's the Johannisbaum fruit. What do we call that? Red fruit tree. Red. Sort of. Well, no, it's this looks like bean. We have them around here.
Oh, those
pods.
Castor beans.
Yeah. Pods? Well, no, not, yeah, not, yeah, these are pods, but yeah. That's the one they use, and it means always sweet and agreeable. Your life will be sweet and agreeable. Somebody tells them, and they did so. And then he said, and he will wipe away your tears. Now there's the tears coming down from the eye. So there's some sort of a drama here. The three people are arguing, the man, the woman, and Seth, Satan. And he says, there will be peace to you, and your life will be sweet to you. That's funny, that missing. Life will be sweet to you. Then he will wipe away your tears. But of course, all the rest is missing. So now we go to the important part of it, which is the creation episode, the second half. So we have it now. Yeah, that's the way it should be. Sure enough. Oh, notice you. Here you see the house of the old man, Belpin, the place of the house of the Ancient of Days. Now, we come to this, and here comes, this is the doctrine, this is the theology of the creation, I guess, would be clearer if it's brought more, yeah, over here, because that's where it is. We'll put it up that way, yeah. You notice these three are met together. Now we're going to get the theology. And this is why they couldn't read it, because it is written backwards. It should read this way, you see, by the direction the figures are facing, but actually it's read this way, which Brest had discovered. The Netzru Heper Em Ptah. These are the forms that Ptah bestowed upon all life and so forth. How Ptah extended himself and was able to put his life and his nature and his step upon all that was created. The gods, Heperu, the gods who came into existence in, as, or through Ta. And first of all, there is Ta here set where? Ta upon the great throne. He's the first Ta. These are different Ta's, you see. Then there is Ta Nun, the heavenly Ta. Incidentally, he's standing in the temple, in the shrine of the temple of the south here. Temple, who is the father of Adam. Then there is Ta Naunet, who is the mother of Adam, who is the mother who bore Adam. And then there is the great Ta, who is the heart and the mind, well, who is the mind and the lips and the tongue, Pel, of the Pesachit of all the gods, whose mind and heart are in all the gods. You notice you have a matter of degrees here. You have a transmission of power and what is it, identity? That's what you have in John. I should have brought those back, or the 19th chapter of Third Nephi, the same thing, where he goes aside and prays, that I may be in you, and you, Father, in me, and those that follow me may be in me as you are in me, Father, and that those who follow them, their converts, may also be one as we are one. I'm saying this not for the world, separated from the world. This idea of being in others and being identified, that's what we have here, and it's one of the keys of Egyptian, as you know, this doctrine of identity. In what sense are they identical? Oh, what we see down here, Nebchawe, the Lord, the who begot the gods, and again who begot the gods, and this says, this was obviously Nefertem, who was at the nose of Re every day. Ah, that's resurrection, you see. He smells the flower Nefertem, which is the opening lotus, and that revives life every day, the nose of Re, the sun. Now we'll go down to the top here. Now notice it divides, it starts dividing into the two, and this is very important because everything happens between these two, and you'll see in the book of Moses, we're going to get this very same thing. Great emphasis is laid on this in Moses 4 and 1, chapter 1, verses 4 and verses 38, 39, one which we all know by heart. But so it happened, you see, in it, ready, reading is, it happened in the mind and heart. That's the hat, you see, hat, same word as our word, head, front, and so forth. And there's a picture of a heart. In the heart and upon the tongue, that the form, the yitzi is, remember that's the same word for image, likeness, that the image and likeness of Ta was in Tem. See, through the mind, the might and the heart of Tem, established his image in Atom. You wear great, great and mighty is Tah. It's the creation. This incident is great and mighty is Tah. When he creates something, then everybody breaks out into the creation hymn, which is a very important hymn. Our word poetry comes from that, poem. As Walter Otto showed, poema, well, you know what the Greek word poema is, it's to make, it means creation. It's the creation hymn. It was first sung by the muses, to celebrate the creation. Remember, when the plan of creation was decided on and everything was passed, then the morning stars shine, the sons of God sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy. That's the creation hymn. We often find a reference to it. To hail God for his greatness and rejoicing, overwhelmed with joy and exaltation at the thought of this new creation of a new world coming into existence. That's what happened. His mind was imparted. His image is in Tam. Great and mighty is Tah, and they acclaim him. And because because through Adam, it says, it came to all the spirits, the cosmos to all their spirits as well. Sek, that's a very archaic word for sek. Not only to Adam, but to all other spirits as well, did Tah bestow being. M, het, in his heart and in the mind, in the heart and in the tongue. And then we say heart and mind because they're the same. And then, again it divides. Then Heper, this is Heper N, Heper N. And it came to pass that Horus and Jehut and Thoth were cooperated with him. There were three you're going to operate then. There is Ta, you notice, Geb waits down below to take things over. Tem, Adam, is the one who transmits the seed. At the creation, these three made the main council, Ta, Horus, and Jehudi Thoth, who, as you know, is Hermes, the secretary of the gods, the spirit, the revealer, the one who keeps all the records, the one who has all knowledge. He's the god of knowledge, the god of wisdom, the god of counsel. He's always rendered in the Greeks by Hermes, so that's where you get Hermetism, the source of all wisdom and so forth. So these three, and of course Horus is the sun. He's always the sun. Horus the sun and Jehuti, who is represented in the abstract, well, so is Horus for that matter, by the ibis. And we're in him, in Ta. Notice, they came into existence, they were Mta with Ta. They cooperated with Ta and all this. Heparin and the authority, Sekhem, and that's Sekhem, a very common word, you get it in the names of kings, Sekhemwi and so forth out here in the museum. It means might, power, authority, usually rendered as authority. And authority, might, and power of the heart and of the tongue were in what he did. And this, again, is something that's been restored on the dock. See, this is way back, was made in 1901. This is the one that... yes, it's in the 39th volume of the AZ, the Historische Zeitschrift, and it's breasted. And since then, they made a couple of corrections, and this is one of them. It is the doctrine, it is the teaching that there should be a B there. He said, is the teach when it epim, that he is, that Ta is, em chenet chet, that he enters into, that he, well, chenet is to stand in front, to confront, to stand in front of, to be joined with, to be as close as you can, possibly use presidency and so forth, that he is in every body, that's the physical body, the cat, and in every mouth, Neb, of every god, of all human beings, of all gods, you see, of all human beings, there's male and female human beings, of all awit, that's cattle, you see, there's a cattle hook, and there's supposed to be a piece of skin with a tail on it. This is all cattle, all creeping things. No, this is a classification of life on earth. Of all gods, of all men, of all cattle, of all Heftu, notice there's a serpent, of all creeping things, of all Heftu, and all other forms of life, Anahu. Kherkat in the... Kherkat, Her, Sejman, which, according to the... The plan, the plan, fingers up, according to the plan and according to the order. It was planned and it was ordained, you see. It uses this throughout the book of Abraham, you notice. It says they planned and then they saw that their commands would be obeyed. and that they both planned and then they ordered. They would plan and then they would give their orders, and the orders would be followed. And that's what this talks about, according to the plan and according to as to what was planned. That's tell, that's probably a passive, I'll tell, hair, and according to that which was wedge ket nebet, everything which was ordained, planned, ordained, and commanded, according to his good pleasure. Neb, everything, merit, as Toptes, it was all according to his pleasure. Now, so we have the heart and the tongue acting here, and this is very important, because remember we read here, not by heart, in the fourth chapter, it says, in Moses at the beginning, he talks about the creation. And this is very important, because this is the famous logos theology that baffles everybody, and there's no need to be baffled, because it's wonderfully clear in the book of Moses, 1 and 4. The logos, that's the word, you see, logos. Remember, the book of John starts out in arche, ein o logos. In the beginning, in the arche, remember we said the tarpendon nomos rhenius, to begin with, was the logos. Discussion, counsel, word, can mean all those things, reason, mean everything you want. And the book of Genesis begins the same way. They say this, they always refer this to Genesis and John. Genesis begins in the beginning. But that begins Bereshit, which as Joseph Smith says, in the council of the gods. That's what it was. At the beginning they call out the council. Bereshit bara, he separated, and so forth. There was this council and the discussion. Well, what's the mystery of the Logos? Well, he tells us here what it is. Notice, he says right in the fourth chapter, fourth verse here, the first chapter, I will show thee the workmanship of mine hands, but not all, for my works are without end, and also my words. They never cease. They're the works and the words. They always go together. And then he says here, we all know this one, and as one earth passeth away in the heavens thereof, so shall another come. And there is no end to my works, neither to my words. The works are never without the words. It's very interesting. And the next verse, the one we all know, 39th, tells us why they must go together. Behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man. It's to pass it on. Glory of God is intelligence, and it is shared intelligence. Without the words, there's no glory in a vacuum. The whole purpose of the word, what is the purpose of the word? It is not mystical, and it's to communicate. The word is to communicate. It's to pass on. It's to share it with others. That's what he's doing here. It was in his heart, and he brings it up in the council of the gods, and they're able to share it, and it's through the word that this happens, and it's literally true. This is going to tell us how that happens. Incidentally, the psychology of the word is going to be explained very clearly, very vividly here, in a passage quite close to one in the Sefer Yetzirah. But let's see what he says here now. Let's see what the bottom line, let's see if there's a continuation here. As everything was done as it pleased him. No, then we go down here. The Pesetit, his counsel was in his presence in as his counsel. Now those counseling with him, the whole council, notice the whole passage, was in, you notice it's drawn as a circle, and it's always drawn this way as a circle divided in two, because this is important. It represents the two sides of the argument. It represents yin and yang, and it's always represented this way, and that's what this has here. It's on stone, but it has very faintly, it has a line through the middle here, the passage. And this counsel was in his presence as his heart and as his lips, as his teeth in his mouth, see, to make enunciation possible, and as his hands. There were two aspects, the begetting, and this is as his seed, the begetting and the formation. He, remember, as what's his name says of Adam, erzeugt, erschafft nicht, erzeugt. He doesn't create, but he begets. But both belong here. This is both creating and begetting. Yebech, it's written phonetically here. Yebech and sepet, the word for teeth and the word for lips, same as in Hebrew, as I say. And here's the two hands. And Adam was the agent through which this was done. Adam, it was, and Kepher, through him came the council, came all the gods, and Tem, M, Tuit, F, and M, through Jebat, by his begetting, if phallic symbol there, by his begetting and by his fingers, by his shaping. There is a literal laboratory procedure going on here. It's written Jebach, G-Jebach. That's picture three fingers. Has to be plural because there's more than two fingers, you see. So M Jebaef with his fingers. Incidentally, Jeba is the same word that's used in Arabic and Hebrew, so that's convenient. And Jebaef. And the Council of the Gods, they become, now can you lift this up? This becomes rather important here. Yes. They are as his own teeth and as his own lips in his utterance. And as things were brought forth, much ere he pronounced the name of everything as it came forth from Shu for the benefit, or from Shu and Tefnut. Now Shu and Tefnut are the Egyptian Adam and Eve. They're the gods who come down, those particular ones who come to beget the human race. But you notice in Genesis a very important thing is that the animals, we mentioned the elephant, the animals are brought to Adam and he names them. Remember, he names everything, and as he names it, remember it tells us in Genesis 2, as in the Pearl of Great Price, God brought these creatures and things before Adam so that he could give them a name, so that he could classify them. And if any of you have read the psychologist, I'm going to say, I think of it in a second. Shouldn't get all gummed up this way. You've read Levi Strauss, who's revolutionized the study of a primitive man in our time. Okay. Levi Strauss, it shows that what the primitives do better than anybody else is classify. They're marvelous classifiers. They're able to remember, they know hundreds of types of plants and animals that the people that go to study them have no idea about. They know far more than the people that come to study them. As you find in Levi Strauss, I was thinking of the earlier one, who was also hyphenated, who wrote on the same subject. Levi Strauss is your man. Well, he brings them, and they're all named as they come forth for Adam and Eve. And, I should say Shu and Tefnut. They're our parents here. And then the council brought forth the seeing of the eyes, see the two eyes, the hearing, the sedjum of the two ears, the onuchi, onuchi, or messagery, either one. The senef, the snuffing, sesenef. Notice our word snuff, sniffle, snort, snout, all the rest of it, snout. All those nose words. Well, they're international, they're universal, the same thing in Hebrew. Nesfun, nes is breath, and neshef in Hebrew, nesfun in Arabic. Dikanafs is if you have a hard time breathing, like flu or something like that. And notice, and the breathing of the nose, that's a picture of a schnozola there. And of the fenish, there it is. See, the breathing and the breathing of the fenish. Fenish, which is the word for nose, and there's a sail with air in it, which signifies breath. So notice there, this is the opening of the mouth ordinance, which is always performed when one receives an Egyptian endowment, whether it's coronation, whether it's initiation, whether it's going through the temple. The first thing, you have to be washed, anointed. Then you go through the opening of the mouth, in which you're first with water and then with oil. You touch your eyes that you may see. It starts out called the opening of the mouth. It begins with the mouth because you must breathe and act first of all. It's the most primitive of all organs here. Many primitive creatures are nothing but mouth, as you know. You don't need eyes and nose so much, but mouth you've got to have if you're going to live. Well, they call it the opening of the mouth anyway. Your ears that may see, your arms that you may smite evil and all this sort of thing. They go through that. 88 cases of that were collected recently by Eberhard Otto in a great collection of texts. See what this opening of the mouth was, a very important part of the temple. And it's the same thing that is performed in the old Jewish funeral. I think big words like funeral. When the rabbi strikes, the old-fashioned, he strikes the corpse on the mouth because it can no longer speak, the eyes because they no longer see, the ears. Because you see, we're told when Adam was cast out of the garden, when he was dying, he sent Seth and Eve went back to the garden to get the oil of anointing that would anoint his eyes, ears, nose, and so forth, so that he would not lose their function, so that he would not die. They were met on the way by an angel. This is very well established. You'll find this in your R.H. Charles book. They were met by an angel who told them they couldn't have it yet until the Son of Man came with redemption. They couldn't have this ordinance. And so they had to go back without the oil, without the oil of anointing. But it was to reverse the order, you see, of death. But when At the funeral, the rabbi angrily strikes the ears because they won't hear anymore, the eyes because they won't see anymore. Well, these were the blows of death inflicted by Satan. He had to learn, Cain learned them from Satan. That's a long story, but these things are all related. You'd be surprised how they tie in together. But the seeing of the ears, and now here we come to this interesting psychology. You notice these are the sensory, these are the perceptors. We get our knowledge of the world from them, supposedly. No, it doesn't. They just come in as electrical impulses, is all they are, just a form of energy. We have to form them inside when we get them. They come through these sensors, but you notice the eyes, the ears, the mouth, the nose, they do not give out. They do not project. They only receive. They come in and it's locked in you. You have your private universe. You're a solipsist there. What do? Ah, it's only the word by which you can communicate this with others. That's why the word is so supremely important. What I see, I do not, well, you do some, but not notably. You do not radiate from your eyes. You do not project sound from your ears. Smell, taste, and the other things, you cannot communicate them with others. The only way of communicating is through the word. There is no end to my works or my words. So words means communication with everybody else, and when the Lord says his purpose is to share his glory, my work and my glory is to bring about the immortality and eternal life of man. He wants to share it with everyone. If the glory of God is intelligence, it has to be shared. He wants it to be, and this is what it is. Glory is shared intelligence. And it's done how? Through the word. So there's no mystery about the Logos. They make such a big secret of it. There's been more. Remember, Faust starts out, second part of Faust, he's reading the Gospel of John, and he says, Im Heiligen Original, in the Holy Original, Im Anfang war das Wort, though that won't do in Anfang, whether in Anfang war die Tat, he says, with the deed, that sounds much better. So this brings them both. Here is the deed, the fingers, and the word. They go together here. Here's the Jeba, and here's the tongue here. This is the tongue, you see. And so the word is very important to come out here. And what are we doing here now? Oh yes, and this is what happens. Notice, Sa'ar, they cause to mount up. Notice, here's a pyramid like the oldest stone building in the world, the pyramid at Saqqara, that magnificent pyramid. It's marvelous, the first stone buildings ever built, and the others around it were built at the same time, some of the most beautiful and perfectly preserved buildings in the world. They're magnificent buildings, they're the oldest stone buildings we have. Nothing primitive about them. Well, anyway, this is a double stairway leading up, so that they may cause to mount up our Allah. See, that's the universal Semitic Hebrew Allah, to mount up, to go up, Arabic El Al, you know, the airline. Cause them to mount up to the heart. Now, these impressions that you get from the eyes, the ears, the nose, and so forth, these are conveyed to the heart, mount up to the heart, conveyed to the heart. And the heart in turn passes them on, conveys, notice here's dead twice, passes them on to what? To go forth to the Arik. They go forth to the Arik. And the Arik is a wonderful word here. Arik, it means, the original word is bind, but it means, notice the determinative here is a piece of rope or cloth, because it means to bind. Therefore, it means a covenant. Therefore, it means a sacred word. Therefore, it means comprehension. It means the last day of the month. It means anything binding. It means the ultimate declaration. Here it would be the final structuring of things. Arik is putting everything together. It's very interesting, the Arik is, in Arabic, is the end of the world. On the Dome of the Rock, if you've been to the Dome of the Rock, you know the big mosque with a silver dome on it was the holy one. That's the end, it's called the Arka. It's the end of the world. That's where you take off for the other world. They use the same word as the Arik. And this will formulate, that's a good word for it, will formulate everything for the tongue to repeat and set forth. Weha means to repeat, recite. Now the tongue can convey it, you see. The heart, you have to receive the impressions. Now that's good psychology. Then it enters into the heart and mind of the thing, and it receives a particular form. It has to be handed on, and then it has to be put into comprehensible structure, and then it is conveyed by being repeated by the tongue. The kahat yebes, what has been thought by the heart, is repeated by the tongue. And so the gods were all begotten, and Adam was begotten, and he begot them too, and along with them. both Adam, this applies to both Adam and his creatures and all the gods along with them, that Sekhar-Hirdman. Hephaestus, and all this happened through the divine command of God in what he thought out in his heart, and in his, yes, we got the right number here, yes, in his heart, which he commanded by his tongue. Notice, which was conceived in the heart and uttered, commanded. Jutel means it was commanded. Others say that's a command, an order, and was commanded by the tongue. End of sentence. New particle begins here. Then he considered the. So thus it was he made the spirits, the qualities of the spirits, and then this is the name of the ruler of. It should be named, left as a proper name, Chinen Hemisto, as the ruler, and he begot the. Well. Hemet, and these are the Hemsetu spirits, and these are the Henetit. This means those who are preordained. Henemet means to preordain, to set apart, to have a purpose for, and this is the female of the same thing. The Chesmet spirits, these are the female, those who were to beget children, those to come forth and beget children. These were special spirits. He set forth the spirits of these two classifications, those to the Hemsuet, these are the Hemsuet, Satan has a long, long, long essay on them, but they were. These were the feminine, of course, that's the symbol of the Lady Nut, the first mother, the one who came to Egypt and so forth, and her two arrows. And this other one here, this the M goes along with it, incidentally, the Metenu. The Metenu means most designated for life, and all those designated to beget children. Jifu, having provided them, having made these, this is the last step, he gets the spirits ready to come to earth. Then he created abundance of supply on the earth for them. Jifu means all manner of food, all manner of substance, and anything you need for life. The earth was richly provided. Adam, we have made for you this earth, provided with everything. Hedip, this is food offerings. This is everything provided in general. This is more specific, Hedip, food spread out, every type of it. Emetit, chin, year, by, and Emetichin. Now this, the division here, Emetichin, by his counsel. This chin is a this. It looks like chen, you plural, but it isn't. It's the old archaic chen, demonstrative, singular, feminine, chen. So watch that carefully. That's a tricky one. By this counsel. Then an interesting thing happens. This being done, notice he has provided the spirits should come last of all. Then he has equipped the world to give them all they need to live on. Then he says he proceeds to give them a law. Now this is why the whole thing is being done. It must have a purpose here. He gave this law, namely, whoever does, notice, you can raise it up a little here now, merit, notice there's a person's hand, merit that which is lovable, that which is desirable, that which is of good report. A good definition of what is good, who does well, who does good, merit is anything that is lovable, is a desirable. So notice it divides it in the middle again. He shall receive, to him shall be given, anech, shall be given life, encher ketep, with eternal happiness and salvation. Encher means bearing, ketep means so many things, you know, it means peace, it means salvation, it means, well, they just used it for food up here, and this will be granted to whoever does good. And then right along with it, you notice, this is the law that's given to everyone, showing that the purpose of the earth is probation. To everyone who does message it, means that which is hateful, that which is evil. The word message is a very interesting one. It's the word that's used in Coptic, and the Greeks picked it up, meaning the devil, message it, who is the great hater, what do we call him? It's the same word as master and master man. That's a funny thing. You don't want to get involved in that. I don't think that master man, that first word master, has to do with the name master necessarily. It can, but message is the same one here. Masajmaha means the great hater, the great destroyer. Apollyon, which is what Satan is, of course. But anyone, whoever does that which is hateful, which is love, well, that's very interesting. It leaves a subjective definition to good and evil. You can argue till the cows come home with all the fine print and make laws about it and so forth and legislate. But you know what is good, what is lovable and desirable, and you feel in your bones what is evil and what is wrong. And whoever does that, to him shall be given, death in a condition of hebed. Hebed, to be held back in prison, to be punished. Hebet is the regular word for crime, a criminal punishment. So this is the rule, and it divides it down the middle. A law is be given that whoever does good will receive eternal salvation, and whoever does bad will receive the death and the due and condign punishment here, a hebet. And so then he says, according to this law, everything which is done, all the kat is any kind of work at all, kat, and every kind of chemet, that could be wabit or chemet, either one, chemet neb, is any kind of workmanship, any kind of art, science, any more sophisticated operation. Kat is any kind of work at all, but chemet is any kind of refined work, any artisanship, and all kinds of, notice here, yirit, awi, the doings of the two arms, the mess, there are the legs walking, the messy of the two legs, the doing of the arms, the walking of the legs, the hem is motion, notice there's motion, of the awit, the limbs, all whatsoever. So all the acts of men, all their achievements, all their activities, their goings, their comings, everything they make and their arts, and everything they do is governed by this law, which shall apply to all things, which he says here. Chet nevet ef, which shall apply to all things. Jewef medet en kat, ka'uet yip ef per et em. And this was according to what he commanded, what he had thought in his mind, and had planned and uttered by his tongue from the middle. And yir em, and here it is again, this is a very important saying. It's as if it were right out of Protagoras, isn't it? All this law, it says, shall be the measure of all things. This, some say this shouldn't be on here. This is iyot in that case, the extent by which all things shall be measured. Or if it only has one side, then it means the yimach, the measure of excellence, the measure of judgment. This is the, says it simply, the well-known saying, this is the measure of all things. So everything that comes to this earth is to be measured by this law, that who does good will be rewarded and who does evil will be punished. And that's why he set it up. Therefore, as Nephi said, this life became a time of probation. And that's what he's making it here, a time of probation. And it applies to everything. Heaven. Well then, and then it happened that when these things had been said and done by Adam, and been caused to come into existence by Seheper, by all the gods, it was all in the name of Ta himself, who is Ta Chenin now. Because remember, he's Ta Chenin, these things would be transferred to the earth, where Geb will take over then, I suppose. He is now Ta Chenin. There's our picture of Ta Chenin here. Yes, pal, he was. Mes Netzero Per En and Ketnebet. The gods caused to, whom the gods caused to come forth all things from him, is what he said. Remember, the syntax isn't ours. Pesach per nf came from him, ket nevet, yim f from him. By the way of food and nourishment, clothing, anything else you need. All life's necessity, pal. In, among the, and we have the gods up here, food, regarding everything. They like to repeat all the time here. Everything which is beautiful and good. Then he found and he understood, it was found, Gemto, and it was understood that all this was by the great might and power of Ta, the A-Pehui-F. You see that in a name, number of names out in the museum, you know, Pehui, the two lines, it means might and power. Through the council, it was through the council, but it was Ta who did it all. Amphet, and after he had completed this and he saw it, looked upon it all, he saw that it was good. And as Seta points out, he says, this is exactly what it says in Genesis, remember? He looked upon it and he saw that it was good. And when he completed everything, he did the same thing, and he says it's just the same things we find in Genesis here. When he saw all things produced by his word, but brought forth by the gods, year enough, then he proceeded to, the gods proceeded to establish cities on earth. Now, they say this is to be translated down to earth. We got to get civilization going here. It's translated to earth, and this is a picture of three cities, plural, excuse me, is always plural. And it's the city symbol, because cities anciently, like Rome, was Roma Quadrata, divided into four parts, and that was a part of the mystery. It all goes back to an early sacral ceremonial center when you have to be boxed to the compass. Well, we still do in Utah, remember, from North Temple, South Temple, everything is gauged according to the temple. And the temple itself must be very carefully, Brigham Young was very careful about this, very carefully boxed to the temple, because it is a scale model of the universe. Everything counts itself from the temple, and we do here. It's a Eurocentric society, the last on earth probably now. But that's what they have here. And he created the city, and he caused Gerigeneth, and he caused to be constructed, Ger is to construct. Notice the constructing is a picture of an adze, chopping a board here. Constructed the fields and farms. These are fields, sepet, nomes, sepet. Remember the Latin word septum, the same thing. Septum is a division of things. And here, in the plural, therefore, fields, nomes, districts on earth, farms where people would settle, of course. And DNF Netero here. And then the time has come, he placed the gods in their shrines, in their temples, their houses. Now we'll move it down again. In their houses, Serewed and F. Pat, so he could cause to flourish there the food offerings, the sacred offerings, the sacred food of the Pat, their sacred offerings. Gerigen F. Hemu, and he built the shrine, their shrines. You know, here's the three of them, see? And he built their shrines, and their images, and their statues. He set up their statues of their bodies into which would please them. Then the gods entered into their temples, into their images, Amphet Nebet, in all manner of wood, and in all manner of precious stone, and in all manner of metal, and Nebhet Nebet Er Doin, and all manner of stuff that flourishes upon the face of the earth. So they have established the temples now, and then we go through quickly, Hepren, well, Hepren, Senyum, so. And then, this all being done, he gathers them all together. And here again, he summons the gods all together in the grand council of the spirits and the gods all together. And this is called Hemu, Ichim, yes, Ichim, Yimek. No, this should be, oh, yes, Ichetup Ichim. It's a mysterious name. It means who is pleased the way things are gathering. And that's the name in which they met at this time. The Lord of the two worlds. And he is the provider of corn for the land. This is a corn barn here, the Shenu. The same word you use. The Shenu, as the god, Ta-Chenin, he supplies all the grain for the land. And here is the great throne, where the gods are united in the presence of at the temple, within the temple of Ta. And there's Ta's name written in the temple. And they're all there. And to hail life here and there he gave life to the Kenneth, that's all Anak, to the two lands at that place. From this place life goes forth to the two lands. And then these last three have to do with the Osiris, the baptism and the resurrection theme and the final glorious consummation. We'll put that to the next time.